Welcome to the first ever Punches and Punchlines podcast end of year award show. We'll be breaking down each category and picking our boxing favorites with a sense of humor. And now, as always, your hosts, Fritz and Franco.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to this week's edition of Punches and Punchlines, breaking down the best boxing with a sense of humor. We don't have any fights to break down this week, but we do want to go over our award winners for 2020. We're going to start off this episode with our pound-for-pound list in men and women's categories. You could say, like, oh, you should make a list of men and women combined, but they're really two different games. There's two-minute rounds. It's not like they're going to cross over and fight each other, so I felt comfortable giving two separate categories here. And I'm going to start off with my... What do you want to start off with, Franco? You want to start off with the men's list or you want to start off with the women's list?
No, let's go with the women first.
I'm going to go in reverse order from five all the way up to pound for pound number one. Starting off my list this year is Clarissa Shields. She's 1-0, an incredible, incredible fighter. She only got to fight once in 2020, but I could not keep her off my top pound-for-pound fighters this year. Then I'm going to go with Michaela Mayer at the number four spot. She went 2-0 in 2020 and looked really well doing it, capturing her first belt and headlining a card on Top Rank this summer, so that was fun to see. In my number three spot, I went with Jessica McCaskill, who also only had the one fight in 2020, but she took out the first lady in boxing, Cecilia Brakus, and that was a huge mountain to climb. So because of that, I'm putting her at my number three spot. And in my number two spot, I'm going with Amanda Serrano. She fought twice this year and looked fantastic doing it. Plus, I just think she's super fun to watch. Her boxing skill is fantastic. Plus, she has amazing power. She's really a fun boxer to watch. So that was my number two. And probably the least surprising top of the list that will happen is Katie Taylor. She was 2-0 this year.
Controversial decision, yes. But I guess.
She's 2-0 this year. I know Adelaide Bird doesn't have her on the top pound for pound list. But other than that, I think she's consensus number one. I hate to go chalk, but it's really just clear that she is at the top of her game. She had no blemishes this year. Until she's dethroned, she's top pound for pound.
Okay. Our lists are pretty similar. I did have Michaela Mayer. I was on the fence about her. I'm giving her an honorable mention. She was a 5B, if you will, like almost there, but not quite for me. And my number five spot is Shannon Courtney for completely not professional reasons, but also her knockout was such a statement. Like, she had a good fight in her fight, but when she finally landed that death blow, it was so impressive that I had to bump her up the list a bit. Again, nothing against Michaela Mayer. I think she's a phenomenal fighter, but I did bump Shannon Courtney ahead of her just by a hair. Also, she had cool Adidas ring gear. So completely dumb reasons, but it made her a better pound for pound fighter in my eyes.
She knocked her opponent off her feet and swept you off your feet, Franco.
Yeah, she did. She has a special place in my heart now. In my number four spot, I have Clarissa Shields. Basically, the same things that you said. She just looks so dominant and so composed in her fight. She had to be in my top five list, especially when comparing her to some of the other top women's fighters. She's, in my mind, hands down, top five and just phenomenal all around. I'm looking forward to seeing her again in 2021. In my number three spot, though, I do have Amanda Serrano. The only reason I have her in the number three spot and not higher is we didn't get to see as much of her as we would have liked. You know, she fought Dominican female cab driver. It was meh. I know that we're going to be seeing great things from her. I'm looking forward to it. But as far as what we saw in 2020, I have her just a notch below our number two spot, which I gave to Jessica McCaskill. Caskilla, as she likes to call herself. Call her Jessie Seven Belts, because it turns out she has seven of them now. The way she got seven was by beating the best. And to be the best, you got to beat the best. And she certainly did that. She beat a legend. It was amazing. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing more from her. I would love to see her against Katie Taylor, but I believe that their weight divisions are different now, and I don't see either one of them shifting, so I just want to see them dominate in their separate divisions. But in my number one spot, you got to give it to Katie Taylor. She looked so dominant in her performance in Eddie Hearns's backyard, where she just held it down, looked cool, calm, collected the entire fight. It was beautiful. And I don't know that there is a ceiling on Katie Taylor. she's just going to continue to dominate next year. At least that's my personal opinion.
When people say, why do they call it the sweet science? Why is boxing the sweet science? I say, watch a Katie Taylor fight. You'll see just her strategy and the way she is able to employ her strategy scientifically. She's just breaking it down and is better than everybody she's going up against. I hope to see her in some more big fights in 2021, but for this year, she's fantastic.
All right, so now let's go on ahead and jump into our top five men's. I'll blast through mine real quick.
No, let me hear
it. I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot of overlap, but I have a feeling also that our order might be slightly different. So here's my top five for pound men boxers. Number five spot gave to Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. His fight, he looked physically in probably the best shape of his life. He's getting up there in age. That's the only reason why I have him a little bit further down the list. He fought against some Polish bum guy, Kamil Samarza. Doesn't matter because he got his ass kicked.
Right.
Yeah. Screw that guy.
Nobody remembers a loser.
Triple G still looks amazing. And the reason why I do have him in the top five, though, is just because when in my mind I match him up against other people, he murders everybody. Like, the guy is still a stone cold killer. He's getting up there in age, but definitely my number five spot. Number four, I have Errol Spence Jr. Dominant performance in 2020. Looks like he's in great shape. I can't see anybody having an easy time against him. He looks so dominant in his performance that I'm looking forward to seeing more of him in 2021. I'm looking forward to some of the big matchups that he's going to be involved in, but I definitely have him in the number four spot only because, again, I don't really see too many people being able to handle him and his speed. Now, in the number three spot, and I wasn't solid about this, I have Teofimo Lopez, a big Teofimo Lopez fan. I went back and was watching some of his fight. And, you know, I almost feel like I love what we saw from him this year, but I almost feel like they gave him his fight. Like, it took Loma so long to get going in that fight. Remember, like, for like the first four seven or five rounds. Yeah, he was like, he had a Sprite in his glove, you know, like the Hulk gloves that you buy from Target that make like he like had the big foam hand thing and was drinking a Sprite. I don't know what was going on in that fight, but it made Teofimo look so good. So I don't know how much of that we give to Teofimo, how much of that, you know, we take away from Loma. But either way, Teofimo Lopez looks so dominant and so good. He's undisputed champ. He looked great. I'm looking forward to seeing what else he does. Also, for completely not pound for pound reasons, I just like him. Like, his videos and stuff on social media make me laugh. And he knows the history of boxing. And I don't know. He just seems like a good spokesperson who's also fun. Like, just a fun person to listen to. I got him at number three. Number two, Inoue, because Japan. That's it. It's a completely racist reason for me to be giving it to him. Naoya Inoue, I have at the number two spot, pound for pound. The man is a killer. He's a monster for a reason. I love watching him fight. I want to see him fight everybody in every weight class without making weight. Like, just fight Tyson Fury and he'll knock him out like Lil Mac in Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Because I think he can do it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I got him number two pound for pound. And then number one spot is Canelo Alvarez. He just looked so good against the best. That's one of the big things for me that set Canelo apart this year. Even though the fight was late in the year, he went against the best. Like, a lot of guys were just trying to get a fight and not going for the top fight because they didn't want to lose money and not getting the gate, et cetera, et cetera. And Canelo went for it and then he dominated. I can't see anybody beating him right now. Like, I feel like the man is at the top of his game. He's the best pound for pound fighter, in my opinion, without a doubt. So who do you have, Fritz?
I'll start you off with my number five, and I might have a big shocker on my list for you here, Franco. I have in my number five spot, I have Naoya Inoue. I only saw him fight the once this year, but what a dominant performance. Dude, I became a fan of his during the World Boxing Super Series. He has done nothing to eliminate my fanhood because the man is just fantastic. He's dominant, just super fun to watch. So I have him at my number five. And then we cross over for our four and three are the exact same. I have Errol Spence Jr. as my number four, and I also have Teofimo Lopez as my number three. Both both of them, like you said, they just put on really great performances. Errol Spence Jr. took on Danny Garcia, a top 10 welterweight. At worst, he's a top 10 welterweight. You know, mm-hmm. I could see him being rated as a top five by some people, but definitely at the very worst, a top 10 welterweight. Teofimo Lopez went a spot ahead of him because he went against what everybody was saying was the man, and he beat the man. Okay, he came in with a much better strategy. Lomachenko took way too long in this fight to get started, and it showed in the scorecards. He beat the man. I think in that my mind, that puts him right on this pound for pound list. Then we're going to go to my number two, which is Tyson Fury. Okay, he came out and dominated. A lot of people would try the approach of, I'm going to avoid that right hand so he doesn't knock my head off my shoulders. He came in just bulldozing and bullied the bully. And man, it was just an incredible dominant performance. So he took on one of the best heavyweights in the world and destroyed him. So that puts him on my list at the number two spot. And I think the shocker is I don't have Triple G on my list. I definitely have him as a top 10 pound for pound. And it was tough for myself.
Fair weather fan. I get it, Fritz. You're a fair weather fan.
Because I make no secrets about it. Triple G is my favorite fighter. But for this top five, I went with Canelo as my number one as well. Now, the only downside to the Smith fight was the Smith fans, you know, making excuses. I've seen a lot of that on social media. You're not helping your guy by making excuses. He wasn't willing to make excuses. He was in his corner saying he was just not the better fighter that night. And it was true. They both stepped into the ring. They both met the weight. And when they walked out of that ring, there was clearly a better fighter. And that was Canelo Alvarez.
Your Mexican flag is in the mail.
Nice.
I just ordered it from Amazon. It's on the way to your house.
I appreciate that. Muy bueno.
All right, so our next category, our first official award for Punches and Punchlines 2020 end of year awards. Our category is going to be Cutman of the Year. Now, I had three people in mind, with two of them being in, you know, our nominations for a very specific reason. But the first one, I wish we had his name. I reached out to Huey Fury to find out what his Cutman's name was, because when Huey Fury got cut in his fight, that cut was disgusting. It was so wide and so early in the fight. It was right above his eye. It looked like his eyeball was going to fall out. And then it just magically went away and did not affect him at all. I mean, it might have affected him, but it didn't show. It looked like the cut was just completely gone. An amazing performance by his cut man. And it ended up getting Huey Fury the win in the long run. Unfortunately, we don't have his name. Huey did not respond to my questions.
He's probably hanging out with the news.
That's right, Huey Lewis. If he did come out with Huey Lewis in the news in one of his ring walks, I'd probably pee myself. It would be the greatest thing ever.
I would love it.
Now, our other two, and I'll give them in order, and then who I think should be the winner. First one is Mike Basil, and the second one is Jacob Stitch Duran. Now, both of these guys were the cut men for the ESPN bubble. They basically lived in Vegas. They were quarantined. They did an interview with both of them, and they were saying how it was like being stranded on an island, how they were just kind of cut off from everybody and were just hit men for hire, you know, like they were cut men for hire. And they did all of the fights, which was kind of cool because you would have guys who were making their debut and they have some of the best cut men in the business. Between the two of them, they both did a phenomenal job. The person who I think is the winner is Jacob Stitch Duran for multiple reasons. Number one, he came up more times in fights, I felt like, where we would be watching a fight and then they'd bring him up because they're like, well, we'll see if Stitch Duran can do anything, you know, if he can save this fight. And then he would. And they're like, oh, that's why he's one of the best in the business. That's why they got him here in the bubble. And the fact that the cut man kept coming up during the broadcasts like that often was kind of, it's different. You know what I mean? To like get to know the cut man. It was super weird, but it definitely made an impact on a bunch of fights. Also, Dana White hates him. He used to be a UFC cut man. And then Dana White fired him because he spoke out against like sponsorship stuff. So that just makes me like Stitch Duran even more, is the fact that Dana White does not like him. So that's my pick, but what do you think, Fritz?
This was as easy to pick as female pound for pound and male pound for pound. Like, we're in agreement on this one. The only one other one I could say would be in the running would be my wife, Megan, because, you know, this whole year, anytime the kids cut their hand or anything like that, she's right there keeping them from losing their shit and ruining our day. So
does she come in with the big jar of Vaseline? She's like, hang on, just throws like a whole handful on their knee.
She's got her own thing where she uses like Disney Band-Aids, you know. So you know, it's not quite pro level, but it's definitely wonderful for the amateur stuff that we're doing here.
Maybe that's what we should send Stitch Duran as his award, just a box of like the Mickey Mouse Disney Band-Aids.
Yeah, and then maybe the other guy I could nominate is Justin from work. When I took part of my finger off, you know, he was there to hand me some electrical tape to wrap it up. So that was pretty good too.
Nice.
But those guys, my wife and that guy together, aren't as good as Stitch Duran. So let's just give the man his award. He deserves it. He knows it.
Yeah, I like it. Congratulations, Jacob Stitch Duran, the first award awarded by Punches and Punchlines podcast. You know, it's an award well-deserved, especially having to live away from his family and friends in the ESPN bubble for as much time as he did. It's an award well-deserved.
And they're like the unsung hero too. They can be the difference between your fighter being able to continue and being retired to the corner. So without their work, really, some of these fights wouldn't go as long as they could. And some fighters who ended up winning would have taken a loss before that. Props to them. The next award we want to give out for 2020 is the Ring Walk of the Year. Now, this might seem frivolous, but you know what? It kind of sets the tone. When the fight starts and the guy comes out to some excitement and really makes it an event, it makes for fun. Now, I only have two nominations that I was tossing around in my head because I thought that these two were far and away the best that I've seen in 2020. And one is Canelo's ring walk with his mariachis and the dancers and the whole fanfare. I thought it was awesome. And then his mariachis play the Final Countdown. To hear that terrible song that I love being played mariachi style, I loved it. And then the only other person that I would say, and I think this guy takes the award, is Macaulay McGowan. Okay. He came out just rapping and living his moment. He took the fight on short notice and still had time to choreograph some moves. So my number one nod goes to Macaulay McGowan. What do you think, Renko?
All right. So we only have overlap in one spot. So I think that's going to be where our winner is. I had a couple of honorable mentions. The first one was Rashad Mati with his Superman and his Batman outfits with the Albanian logo in it. He just looked like he was having fun. Loved it, all of it. And I hope he keeps going. I did message him and say, we want Green Lantern next. We'll see if he can come through for us. Cause if he does, we're going to have to invite him to the barbecue. Now with Canelo, I kind of put him in the same category as Anthony Joshua, where both of them kind of had similar things, where it was like five video packages and the flames and the sparks and all the fanfare and all the big stuff. But as far as the fighters themselves, it was just them. And then they had all the performance around them. So it's almost like you have to credit their team more so than you credit the fighter. Like, it wasn't them performing. They were, if anything, they were trying to block all of that out and ignore the flames and the sparks. They were very cool. I loved both of them, but I feel like it wasn't them. The other one was Jared Anderson when he came out as Chucky, a giant 6'4" Chucky. I had nightmares for like 2 weeks. It was great. He had the full costume. I loved all of it. Last one before I get to our winner though, Tyson Fury. I really liked his ring walk. He came out dressed as a king. He got into a throne. They said, please rise for the king. And then they carried him up to the stage while he sang Crazy by Patsy Cline. The crowd sang along with him. It was a lot of fun. I'm not the biggest Tyson Fury fan, but I totally appreciated his ring walk and was like, okay, this is kind of cool. But our one overlap for fighters is Macaulay McGowan. Macaulay McGowan's ring walk did not involve fireworks. It did not involve tons of fanfare. Not a lot of people watched the fight, but his ring walk, we were literally messaging each other as we watched it, like, oh my God, did you see this? That was so much fun. It really was. It was a great ring walk. He came out to Ja Rule. He had the goofy dance. He forgot the lyrics. He picked it back up. But the main thing was, it was all him and he was having fun with it. He was having fun during the fight, asking for soccer scores and stuff. And even though he got his butt kicked, I became an instant fan only because it was so silly and so wonderful. I loved it. I thought it was all him without the budget. He gets my ring walk of the year.
Now, we didn't want to do ring gear of the year, really, but I will like to nominate in that same Tyson Fury fight. I would like to nominate for ring gear of the year, Deontay Wilder's costume, because from what I've read after the fight, it was able to defeat him before the fight even started. It was 40 something pounds of heavy gear, and his Game of Thrones stuff took him down. So who knew that winter was coming that quick? Because the fight was over before it even started. His ring gear was too heavy, Franco.
Ring gear for champ. Yeah. If we had the award, I think that would be our winner. Maybe that'll be a category that we can add for next year. And maybe Deontay Wilder will be able to lock it in. Like maybe he's listening and he's like, that's an award I can win. And then he'll come out with 200 pounds of ring gear for next year, just to get our award. If we include that category,
I think if we reach out to the right people, we might be able to interview the ring gear itself. You know, because it definitely looked like it had some AI, you know, like there was some artificial intelligence going on there. Maybe keep fingers crossed.
All right. Our next category is going to be for fight of the year. I almost feel like we're at like an actual award show. Like I should be like, and the nominees are like, we say some dumb written scripted jokes.
Nobody can see it, but I'm handing you the envelope right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Our first nominee would be Canelo Alvarez versus Callum Smith. I put this out there. It's not my final pick. It's not who I think should win it. But the only reason I included it on the list was it was such a dominant performance by Alvarez. Callum Smith was the number one ranked guy in that weight class. And then for Alvarez to have him throw in the towel after seven rounds, that's incredible. Like it's up there with what Tyson Fury was able to pull off. But to me, this was less about bullying and just smothering a guy and more about just breaking him down technically and just showing, like you said, what the sweet science is. And it was beautiful. I put that at my number three spot. My number two spot, I had Masayoshi Nakatani versus Felix Verdejo. Nakatani was getting his dick kicked in for the majority of that fight and then all of a sudden turned it on, and then at the very end was able to just drop Verdejo and send him into another dimension. I lost my mind that night. I thought it was such an exciting fight. I was up and down emotionally, you know, where I was like so sad that the guy that I was pulling for was getting beat up, and then I was kind of happy because I didn't bet on it and then he ended up winning, and so then I was excited for that, and then I was sad that I wasn't able to bet on it. It was an emotional roller coaster. I thought it was a great fight, but I have to say that for me, fight of the year hands down has to go to Ivan Baranchik versus Jose Zepeda. There was 8 knockouts in 5 rounds. It was the most ridiculous fight. I know we watched it more than once because we watched it after one night of boxing just to see something exciting. It was the most amazing fight of the year. I don't know. Like, I don't even know that anything in 2021 can top it. Maybe they will, but this is going to be a fight that we talk about for years to come.
Now, I'll certainly agree with you on the Ivan Baranchik, Jose Zepeda, but you might be pleasantly surprised to hear I have 2 other fights that you did not mention.
They're wrong.
I have Juan Francisco Estrada versus Carlos Cuadras that we watched on our fishing trip. And now Francisco Estrada, he came back from a 3rd round knockdown to get the knockout in the 11th. And in between those times, from opening bell to the time that this fight was called off, they were just trading and going to war. It was really just a fun fight to watch. I hadn't really been a fan of either guy before that, but this is one of those fights that leaving that fight, I was like, I'm a fan of both of these dudes. They just both were giving it their all. They left it all in the ring, and it was just such a fun fight to watch. So that one is definitely in my running for fight of the year. Other than that, then too, I had in my next nominee, I would say would be Jessica McCaskill versus Cecilia Brakus. Jessica McCaskill, now this came to one judge had it a draw and the others had it just by a couple points. I think it was 97-93. I forget the other score, but it was such a fun fight. And to see McCaskill go to the top of that mountain and beat the first lady of boxing, Cecilia Brakus, I just thought was really a fun fight to watch. So I'm giving that my consideration absolutely for fight of the year. But then I'm going to have to agree with you 100% that Baranchik versus Zepeda is the fight of the year. That I can't even imagine somebody making an argument that it's not. It was just so far and away better with the action of, like you said, 8 knockdowns in 5 rounds. I thought that Zepeda was done. Mm-hmm. And with the relentless attack that Baranchik had on him, I thought he was done. But he stayed calm and started landing his counters. Sometimes the knockout comes to you. You don't got to go looking for the knockout. And that really proved it in that fight, that he stayed calm and landed that shot. And I thought at one point that Baranchik might not be around anymore. You know, like he felt so bad when he was finally knocked out. I celebrated the knockdown for a minute. And then when I saw he wasn't moving, I was like, oh, I hope he's okay. Fight of the year, I think for sure. If we're going to have our female, maybe I'll just cop out right here and I'll say female fight of the year was Jessica McCaskill and Cecilia Brakus.
Totally a cop out. That's a cop-out. Okay.
Okay, then I'm going fight of the year since they are the same game. You know, I could see us, like you said, having the separate list for pound for pound. So I'm going to say Ivan Brancheck versus Jose Cepeda is our fight of the year. Do you agree?
I completely agree. I could see an argument being made for Nakatani versus Verdejo, but... And the only reason I say an argument is with Brancheck and Zepeda, the knockouts were so fast and so furious. I could see an argument being made that they were just being sloppy or that both guys had glass jaws kind of a thing. But if they had glass jaws, they wouldn't have gotten up. That was right. The thing. Both guys kept getting up. And to me, that's what ends up putting it ahead. Where with Nakatani Verdejo, it was so skewed in one direction and then came back the other way. Almost like the Povetkin White fight where it looks like one guy's going to take it and then the other guy takes it. The only difference between Povetkin and White and Nakatani and Verdejo, Nakatani, he was getting his ass beat for like six rounds. Like it was just where you're thinking, oh, they're going to throw in the towel or he's going to go down any second. And then he turned it around. Like he kind of took it and then he turned it around. But with Brancheck Zepeda, both guys kept getting up. If you really had a glass jaw, you don't get up after the first one. These weren't kind of knockdowns. Half of them were like knock you into next summer kind of a knockdown. And both guys kept getting up. It was amazing to watch. Definitely, hands down, I agree. That's my fight of the year.
Moving on, you just mentioned Dillian White versus Povetkin. That brings a nice segue into our knockout of the year. So let me start this off for us, Drenko. In knockout of the year, I had Gervonta Davis knocking out Leo Santa Cruz. For a dude who'd not been knocked down in his career, to get his lights put out like that was incredible to watch. I'm still a Leo Santa Cruz fan. I like Gervonta Davis. The dude certainly is talented, and I look forward to seeing him fight a little more. That knockout was fantastic. Like, he just landed one right on the button, and Leo was out.
I also had that one on my list. It was such a ridiculous knockout. We saw it on ESPN. We saw it on SportsCenter. I saw it on PBS, like on Channel 11 between Sesame Street and Arthur. They had the knockout because it was a big fight, and it didn't end with a decision, and it didn't end with, oh, some kind of controversy. He murdered Leo Santa Cruz. Like he put his lights out. I agree. That one's also on my list. Not my winner, but also on my list.
Okay. And then the next one I would have on my list, but I wouldn't necessarily say is my winner, would be the fight we just talked about for fight of the year. Ivan Brancheck getting knocked out by Jose Zepeda. When Brancheck hit the mat, like I had said earlier, it looked like he might not get up. It was certainly an awesome fight to watch. And then that knockout was just the cherry on top of the sundae. You know, it was a perfect ending to the way that one was going to go. There was no way that one was going to go to the cards. And that knockout was just fantastic.
I did not have that one on my list, but that was an amazing knockout. Like the way his leg bent backwards behind him and just, it was like a sack of flour hitting the ring mat. It was a brutal knockout. But imagine if that fight did go to the cards. Like if they just kept knocking each other out like crazy, that would have been the most ridiculous fight to score. How do you even score that? Right.
The only probably reason that I don't think that should win knockout of the year is because I think it would be greedy for them to win fight of the year and knockout of the year. So my leader in the clubhouse is when Alexander Povetkin knocked out Dillian White. You could see the soul leave his body when the punch landed on his chin. You could see, or at least it looked like, Povetkin was going to be have his lights put out in that round. And Dillian White was just trying to set up like highlight reel knockout and left himself susceptible. And man, it was right out of my, I screamed out of my chair. You know, it made it even sweeter that Dillian White talked all this crap before the fight that Povetkin's going to get killed. So when a guy goes in like that and then gets destroyed, it makes me smile a little more. I like Brancheck and I like Leo Santa Cruz. So those guys got knocked out. I'm still a fan of them. But I wasn't really a fan of Dillian White. I'm still not. And he got knocked out by Povetkin. And I won a ton of money on it. So I can be bought, Franco. And I think that was knockout of the year.
Okay. Now, I have a different nominee that was not on your list. Otherwise, it's all overlap. We agree on all of them, except for there's one that I did want to toss in there. Cuban Flash, Frank Sanchez, knocking out Julian Fernandez was like an artist painting his masterpiece because Julian Fernandez was dancing around, taunting him, yelling out expletives in Spanish, talking about his mother. Like he did everything that he possibly could do for an entire round, despite getting completely dominated in this fight. And then Frank Sanchez threw him through the ropes. If Julian Fernandez would have been 2 feet over, he would have landed headfirst on the concrete and died. And this would have been on the evening news. They would have been like, a boxer murdered in the ring. And instead, it was just a cool knockout. Like, he went flying through the ropes. His eyes were wide open as he fell backwards onto the cameraman's little podium thing. I'm going to throw that one out there, but I do have to agree, Povetkin White was definitely knockout of the year, only because there was more at risk. This wasn't expected. It was a fun fight. Povetkin was getting beat. It looked like, you said, if anything, the bell should be credited with some of that win, because had the round not stopped and had Povetkin not kind of gotten a second wind, I don't know that he would have beat White, but then he did. And Eddie Hearns' backyard, you could hear the thud echo across the backyard when White hit that pillow and was knocked out. It was a great knockout. It was a high-risk fight. It changed rankings. Like, White was supposed to be the next big thing, and then just, we're ending it here. And I did not have money on the fight, so I feel like we're not being bought here. We're still on the up and up, unlike the NFL, because my bets have not been going good this weekend, because all of that is rigged. But these awards, not rigged. We cannot be bought. I agree with you. Povetkin White was a beautiful knockout. It was on a big stage. They had the flamethrowers and everything. Like, it was a big deal. That's how they let you know it was a big deal. I think it might have been one of the first fights that we saw pyro for in the age of COVID. It was, like I said, you could hear the thud echo, and it was also one of the only fights in early COVID where you heard some people that were in that backyard just kind of do a, oh, like, it was so great.
I think that noise was Eddie Hearn going like, oh, all my plans.
Was he rubbing his hands together like a supervillain?
My plans are gone.
All right, and our final category for our 2020 Punches and Punchlines Podcast Awards is Fighter of the Year. Now, there's been a lot of controversy with other organizations and with other lists that have been kind of wrapping up 2020 and who they've chosen. And so, without further ado, here's my list. Honorable mentions, I have both Jessica McCaskill and Katie Taylor. I believe both of them have kind of set up the women's division in a way that wasn't there previously. Now, there have been people like Breckhouse who have been putting in the work over the years, and they kind of laid the foundation, but I feel like both women kind of raised up the stakes and kind of pulled other people up with them. We're looking forward to it in 2021. My number three spot, I have Tyson Fury. I didn't think that he was going to dominate Deontay Wilder the way that he did. I didn't think that he was going to be able to knock him out in the fashion that he did. If anything, this was pre-COVID, and so it was like one of the only fights where we had the big crowds and the big stage and all the hype and the hoopla before the world shut down. I do have him at the number three spot, and then I'll just put my last two out there, and then I want to hear your list. I'm not going to say who I'm leaning towards, but my last two fighters of the year are Canelo Alvarez, because despite not fighting for almost the entire year, like, I tried not to hold a lack of fights against people, only because COVID. Who am I to say? I barely left my house all year. So who am I to say that other people should have put themselves at risk? If anything, if Clay Collard wouldn't have lost that fight at the very end of the year because he fought like seven fights or six fights or whatever it was, he would have been up there for me at the number six spot. Oh, it was six fights?
Yes.
Yeah. If that wouldn't have happened, if that loss wouldn't have happened, he would have been high up on my list. But my two guys, like I said, Canelo, he went for it. He fought the biggest guy. He didn't care about, I mean, they still took a gate and they still made a ton of money off of it. You know, he still went for a big fight and then he dominated. I can't see anybody being able to knock him off. And then my other one right there with him, before I hear who you think, is Teofimo Lopez. Man is the undisputed champ. The only thing that, like, it kind of puts an asterisk next to it is Lomachenko, I feel like, kind of gave him that fight. But at the same time, this is boxing. Nobody gives anybody anything. I don't know that there is a such thing as giving somebody a fight. If you have a game plan that shuts the other guy down to the point where he doesn't know what to do and can't figure out how to score points for as long as Lomachenko couldn't figure it out, I don't know. You know, that I don't know that there is a such thing as giving him the fight. I think if anything, just Lomachenko didn't come up with a better game plan fast enough. But Teofimo Lopez dominated that fight. He looked phenomenal. I still believe that the right guy won that fight. I know on social media there was a little bit, like at the very, very beginning when that fight first ended, people were like, oh, you know, it was robbery and blah, blah, blah. Those people don't know what they're talking about. So those are my top two guys. But before I say who I'm leaning towards, I want to hear who your guys are, Fritz, or ladies.
Okay. I love your addition of McCaskill and Katie Kaler. They were dominant this year and they look good. But my top three, I am willing to hold inactivity against people. Okay.
Okay.
So the only one that even made it on my list at 1-0 was Teofimo Lopez, because he was going against what was considered the man and beat the man. There was extreme odds that Lomachenko would knock him out because he was going to come in too aggressive and leave himself open. But that was not the case. He came in with a fantastic game plan and executed it. So I think he clearly won that fight. It was, you know, some close rounds in there. Vasily Lomachenko just took way too long to get going in that fight. So by the time the judges read the scorecards, I think they had the right man. Another guy I would say would be Edgar Berlanga. Came out 3-0 this year. Okay, so had three fights, total of under three rounds. Now, granted, it wasn't the best competition, but you can only beat the guy that they put in front of you, Franco. Mm-hmm. In order to get to the man, sometimes you got to go through some of the lessers in order to get there. He beat who they put in front of him.
No. You said that you weren't going to hold inactivity against people, or that you were going to hold inactivity against people. Yes. Canelo fought technically for more time than Berlanga did, because Berlanga only went like 90 seconds every time. So what is that, 270 seconds? I think Canelo took longer to pee before his fight.
I get where your math is going, but at the end of it, Berlanga still went 3-0 and Canelo went 1-0. So,
okay. I'll give you that. Okay. I do like that addition though. That's a good one.
Okay. And then my pick, I would have to lean heavily toward Elvis Rodriguez. 5-0 this year, 5 knockouts. Mm-hmm. He didn't beat any world beaters, but he put everybody they beat put in front of him. When we were dying for boxing, this dude was showing up on every ESPN card.
I like where you're going with this. So who's your pick for Fighter of the Year?
I'm going to go with Elvis Rodriguez, because he was 5-0, beat everybody they put in front of him, and I think is setting himself up for a nice 2021. But if we're only judging the calendar year, which we are, 2020, mm-hmm. He was 5-0, 5 knockouts, and was there for us when we needed some boxing.
Usually, I would disagree with this, only because of the level of competition. However, because this was 2020, and because it looked for a long time like there wasn't going to be boxing, had the bubbles not happened, had people not stepped up and kind of basically put their lives at risk to be willing to go and fight somebody else in a time where a disease was out there that we didn't know how it was going to affect people. We didn't know how, you know, there were still questions about how it was transmitted, how the tests worked, how accurate they were. There was a million questions out there. And in the middle of the summer, this bubble popped up when it didn't look like we were going to have anything. I kind of like your pick. Like I almost feel like had the bubble not happened and had these preliminary fights not happened at the very beginning, where in the middle of quarantine, they started having boxing in a time where there were no other sports. Had that not happened, I don't know that we would have had other fights later on. We wouldn't have had the Canelo fight. We wouldn't have had Teofimo Lopez in his fight. We wouldn't have been able to see all these other big fights that eventually we had without that groundwork. Yeah, I like your pick. Elvis Rodriguez, Fighter of the Year for punches and punchlines, only for being a maverick, a trailblazer, and for putting his life on the line for our entertainment, for our enjoyment, and not just doing it once, going back on really short camps. I mean, can they even be considered camps when you're taking another fight just a few weeks later? I don't know. Right. What do you think?
Yeah, 5-0. I just think that was awesome. And it's not unheard of for, you know, fighters at the beginning of their career to fight multiple times per year, you know, 4, 5, 6 times, you know.
But in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And it was great that I think it was even on the Lomachenko card with Teofimo Lopez. Like, he just turned out to be a fun fighter and somebody that gained me as a fan in 2020 and did what he was supposed to do in his fights. And you can't, you know, blame him for who they put him up against. Now, there was no people that they just threw him to the wolves or something. Like, there was nobody that was 0-16 that went up against him. He fought veterans and he beat them. And I think, like I said, Fighter of the Year.
I can't argue against it. Congratulations, Elvis Rodriguez. It's a shocker. My mind is blown. It's not the direction I thought this was going to go in before we started recording. Like, we didn't pick these out ahead of time. We just decided we were going to talk about, you know, each category. We would kind of put out who our picks were and who we were leaning towards. If you would have told me Elvis Rodriguez Fighter of the Year before we started recording, I would have said there's no way in hell. But I love it. I think it's a phenomenal decision. Again, putting his life on the line for our entertainment, like a gladiator of old. Congratulations, Elvis Rodriguez. I love it. I love it. It's an award well-deserved. You know, your pocky sticks are in the mail. I think that's what our trophy is. It's just a box of pocky sticks.
Nice. Jewel. I like it.
And that maybe like what, some chicharron or something?
I want
a box of schnitzel from Costco.
It's gift cards for just stuff on 63rd Street. So.
There you go. Welcome to the Super Mall. Everything here is bootleg.
Yeah. And I think there's some gift cards to Wish. Wasn't that one of our... sponsors too.
I'm going to order you some Green Lantern stuff from Wish just so you can see how truly horrible it really is.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Congratulations, Elvis Rodriguez. Yeah. First ever Punches and Punchlines Fighter of the Year.
So Franco, this has been a fun year for boxing. Let's just say that. Like, 2020 hasn't been wonderful, but what I would like to do is sincerely thank all the people that have listened. I want to thank people even more if they have listened and then told other people to listen. The only thing I would ask maybe going forward is download us and give us a rating on whatever platform you're going on. And, you know, just keep tuning in. And if you have any suggestions of fights we should watch or fighters to look out for in the coming year, you know, just send us an email at punchesandpunchlines@gmail.com and we'd be happy to interact with you. But most of all, like I said at the top, thank you so much for listening and for sticking with us.
It was interesting when you called me earlier in the year and you were like, hey, do you want to do a boxing podcast? And I was like, what? And I'm like, maybe, like, that sounds like it could be fun. And then when I pulled up on my Pandora what boxing podcasts were out there, there weren't really a lot, and the ones that there were either really uppity or they were kind of weird and a lot of just rambling nonsense. Not that we don't sometimes get into rambling nonsense, but it would take so long for them to get to the part that I wanted to hear. Or it was just really pretentious where it was like, oh, you know, you wouldn't know about this because you're not a boxing insider. So the idea of just a fan-led podcast talking about boxing and then doing it with you, Fritz, sounded like a fun idea. I thought it sounded like something that if we were decent at it, you know, it could be a fun thing. We did a couple of practice podcasts where we watched some fights and then just recorded not using any equipment. And they were fun. Like, just listening back to it on my phone in the car, I was like, well, if we can fix the audio issues, I think this might be a really fun thing. And it has been. It's been a pleasure to be able to each week jump on Zoom with you and record and get this podcast in. It's been a lot of fun and I enjoy and look forward to recording each week. And again, like Fritz said, thank you to everybody who has tuned in. You know, we really appreciate it. And the people that have stuck around and listened to every episode, thank you. You know, we really do appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us just be idiots, which this is basically what we do on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's like I tell my wife and kids when we come up to record, like, hey, daddy's going to go play radio right now with his friends, you know, like, so I hope you've had fun listening to us play radio and keep tuning in. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Punches and Punchlines. Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment, and we'll see you again next week when we break down the best fights with a sense of humor.